I'm using the INTU STU machine, which, let's see here, I had that listed here just a moment ago. Which is the Limark machine, I believe, there on Long Island, and I'm controlling it via Echo Link. Let's see, where is it? Well, I had it here, and no, it didn't give me any particular information there. Over.
Please use an Echo Link, check.
B2HWW.
CU. Into, oh, I'm in the wrong place. No wonder it's not coming up. I think it was Eric who said something, which it happened a little bit too fast. I didn't get it. Go ahead with your comment, Howie.
Do you read the email, Dick?
OUB2HWW.
Go ahead, Howie. And yes, sometimes I read emails.
The station in Texas, what is the Echolink number for N2STU? Can you give me the five-digit code? I'm coming in on IRLP, but I want to try Echolink route. So if the station in Texas could tell me what the five-digit code is, or the six-digit code for N2STU, I would appreciate that. WD2HWW.
I don't want to use Echo Link, Howie. It's too slow.
What did you say, Eric?
I said you really don't want to use it because it's just too damn slow. You have to wait for the repeater to drop out before you can hit transmit.
No problem. You know, the reason why I wanted to do that, because I'm on 9126. I wanted to stay on 9127. I wanted to somehow provide a way of bridging you guys into the IRLP world, because I'm normally on 9127. All right, no big deal. I see that you have it set up differently. You have to wait for the carrier to drop. Okay. I'm sorry for breaking in. But, Dick, this was a very interesting conversation tonight. But, Dick, all I know was that if it wasn't for my parents, I wouldn't be in ham radio today or have an engineering degree. I was 8 years old. I'll repeat it again. I saw somebody with an H with a walkie-talkie, and I wanted one. My father went to Lafayette, came back that night with a pair of walkie-talkies. And then 6 months later, he went and bought me a Hellcraft SS-85 for $35. So that's how it started.
Yeah, and look what he caused. And I got into technology also because my father was doing it in the house. Still put model airplane when I was 5 or 6 years old on the table. When I was around 7 or 8 years old, we built a crystal set, and then we built a Newtonian reflector telescope, a 3.5 or 4 inch, where a cardboard tube being thrown away by a local rug store became the tube for the telescope. So the whole telescope's all built out of cardboard. I've still got that telescope, which is crazy. So what we do as parents can have long-range effects. Did your parents get you into technology, Kent? Were they doing something in your youth that caused your interest in various technical things? W-A-5-E-J-B, K-2-L-I-W?
If I was in the family business, I'd be selling shoes. this is going through 5889 is the one I'm using. And you mentioned a 9127 for another IP input. I don't see that as part of Echo Link. How are you using that one? Over.
And that other number is IILP, which comes out to your local repeaters, but as you've said in the past, you'd rather not use that method. Tell you to again.
Okay. Although my father did enjoy radio-controlled airplanes, so I kind of got started in aerodynamics and electronics when we were building radio-controlled airplanes, which, by the way, had little itty bitty pencil tubes and 47 volt batteries in them. That goes back a ways. KQRIW, WA5BKB.
Yeah, our parents do have quite an influence on us. So radio control is one way you sort of got into the back door. My father was into tinkering with radio, telescopes, and aircraft. By the time he was 17 or 18 years old, he had already built and sold something like 7 or 8 sailboats, built them with his own hands. And he went fishing every other day of his life. My father was a real big fisherman, owned a zillion different boats. And that's the one thing that didn't catch on. I never caught on to fishing. I never became nautical. That wasn't technical enough for me. So not everything he did that I copied. I bet your father did a couple of things you didn't copy, particularly if you ran a shoe store. Was it the main shoe store in your particular town, Kent?
There we go. I wouldn't call it the main one. It was one. And my mother was in the shoe business for longer than he was. And last week I gave my father a radio-controlled airplane, although it really wasn't radio-controlled. It was infrared-controlled. So you controlled it what was essentially a TV remote control. And we flew it around his living room. So a little electric infrared controlled airplane. So he still enjoys playing with them. Over.
Yeah, there's a club on Long Island called Sea Fly, Silent Flyers of Long Island. And they rent a gymnasium of a local school, and 1 or 2 days a month they fly all of these little bitty indoor aircraft, RC and infrared controlled aircraft, inside of that gymnasium. And that's a fun operation. It's quite challenging to try to squeeze a aircraft other than a lighter than aircraft into your living room, so flying that in your living room is a bit of a challenge. But you fly something a little bit faster and larger inside of a gymnasium, I guarantee there's a local club somewhere in your area that's doing that. I think there's at least 2 clubs on Long Island doing it. And the outdoor electric-powered, battery-operated silent flyers, it's now at the point where the total power output of the engine on electric-powered aircraft is considerably greater than any gasoline-powered aircraft. One of the aircraft I saw at a show last September was running 32 kilowatts, which I guess is around 25 horsepower. And my goodness, is that thing fast and powerful. They've come a long way. I'm going to have to go to work tomorrow, so I'm not going to stay up too much later tonight. I'm going to say 73 to you, Ken, and pass it back to you for some final. Glad you stopped in tonight. Too bad you didn't stop in earlier when I was saying all those great things about you. WA5BJB, K2RIW.
Well, I did miss that one comment, apparently, but I was here for the vast majority of the net. And I have used it outdoors. You've got to be very, very careful. First off, there's got to be less than 2 miles an hour of wind. Next, you can't do it in daylight. So you got to go out there at dusk, where it's just barely enough light that you can still see the airplane. If there's any more than that, then the infrared doesn't work. But it's fun playing with that. Yeah, I got to do that electronic warfare amplifier there. Get that thing working. That's a headache and a half. K2RAW in the group, WA5BJB, 73.
Among the guys who fly electric airplanes, there's a whole group of them that just love flying at nighttime by putting various colors of light-emitting diodes on the wingtips and the fuselage front and back and so on. So nighttime flying, radio-controlled electric aircraft, that's a whole art and science in itself. It's done at this great big NEET fair, N-E-E-T. If you Google the word NEET, N-E-E-T, NEET fair, which is held once a year in September, and has now been six of them, once every year, in upper New York State, and I've now attended two of those, and you look at that series of photographs of what kind of aircraft are being flown, that's really something. These brushless DC motors have come a long way. I gotta go, and you could be buying your father a RC aircraft that has light-emitting diodes on it, where he can either fly it with real radio at nighttime, infrared at nighttime, or get him one with a real radio that he can fly during the daytime. Consider a so-called park flyer, P-A-R-K flyer. These are foam-filled things, which are essentially crash-proof and made to literally be used in a park. They're not very expensive. Guarantee he would enjoy it. When you see some of those park flyers fly, I mean, some of them I've seen can do a loop or a turn in about a 3-foot radius. They're really maneuverable. Bye-bye, Ken.
About seven or eight electric planes and three or four electric helicopters. Understand, and if there's not too much wind, I can fly them here in my yard. I got about 300-foot backyard. Not as big as yours, but the trees aren't as much of a problem. The G5BK.
Roger, Dodger. You should see my son flying paper airplanes from the top of my tower, but that's another story. Out of curiosity, who is that? And were you the guy that asked, do I read email?
No, I was.
Okay, and yes, I did read your two emails on the same subject. And who's the other person who said pleasure?
Yeah, I was at my son's house chasing a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old. From 10 o'clock in the morning on until about 6. It's probably later than that. Probably about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. And Saturday was, let's see, cut the grass, fertilize, repair the dishwasher. And, towards the end, fixed a computer that had a virus problem. Virus, I should say, / malware problem. You know those, my daughter's laptop? She clicked on that famous, you have a virus, click here to do a scan. I forget what they call it, like I think it's just antivirus Pro 2009 or something like that, I don't know. But it's just, the last couple of months, I think it's really grown big.
It definitely has. It's kind of like a hostage program. It holds you hostage until you do something. I know there's a specific name for it, but I don't remember what it is. But it's good for business, I can tell you that. Did you go to the picnic yesterday? I tried, but, you know, I had a family come in from upstate, so got negated that. I'm going to clear for a moment. I have to drop off my little one to the grandma's, so I'll listen as much as I can to your final, and then I'll come back. Only a few minutes.
No, it's actually a specific function yesterday that I went to, and I couldn't have made it if I even wanted to go there. So I knew I wouldn't be able to go like well in advance, a couple weeks in advance. That's it. All right, I'll catch you when you get back. And 7 weeks from now. EJC, this is Ben Tweeb.
N2EB and 2ZEP.
Net tonight at 8:30. Net tonight at 8:30.
Wait, got to tell me twice? Okay. Hey, Gary. On the GCP here. And, I watched the news this morning. Everything was bad. Like, cop shoots another cop. General Motors is all this stuff. Anyway, the foreign cars are still holding their prices up there. So you'll see more and more foreign cars now than ever. How are you doing? How's your car?
I don't want to talk about it, because my car's doing well, and the more I talk about it, the less chance it's going to be that it stays doing well. But, you are going to see more and more foreign cars, because people are afraid that if they buy an American car, the company's not going to be around to service it. That's because people like you have their money in the Cayman Islands.
Yes, exactly. And also other countries. Tax-free, if they speak English. I don't know. Anyway, talking to TJC, I said, great weekend. And JR left me a voicemail. I thought I was going to hear from him this morning. That's with JDT, that's Weeby.
I caught JR on Saturday. This weekend. Yeah, it was a nice weekend. Got together with some friends. Installed an air conditioner. All in all, everything's doing nicely.
Oh, yeah. AC time. Yep. Way to do it. Yeah. Saturday, I was telling JC, Saturday, cut the grass and I fertilized, and then I came inside and repaired a dishwasher. And, then my wife came home and, they helped her a little bit. And Saturday night, fixed a laptop that my daughter clicked on, that virus, that says you, for this, anti-virus thing, generically. I think it's called Antivirus Pro, something like that. That's the name of it. Antivirus Pro. Like what? And, man, is that really... I mean, you can't even get on the internet. That's how bad it is.
All right. Well, if you want to talk about stupid things, my son is helping me with the air conditioner, and the core of the air conditioner just isn't long enough to get to the outlet, and he's using the same outlet that he runs his computer through, because that's the only thing available in his room. So I hand him the plug, if they are, I plug it into the extension cord, he plugs in, we got it turned on, everything's working fine, he turns his computer on, and in a couple of minutes when the compressor comes on, all of a sudden, everything shuts off. He had the air conditioner going through his UPS.
Oh, it's, he hooked it up to the power supply, the backup. Oh, man. Yeah, that's tough. I have that same situation where my daughter's room, where the plug's not long enough, and I bought an appliance, an extension, say that again, appliance extension cord, and so it's really heavy, super heavy duty extension cord. That's what you're going to get. No power strips for that thing. So did anything happen to the UPS, or like did it too much a fuse pop in the thing or something?
Well, the UPS has an overload circuit. It sensed the power surge was going to be more than it could handle, so it just shut the whole thing down. He had to reset it. And we're looking downstairs at the circuit breakers because his computer and his air conditioner turned off. We can't find a popped circuit breaker, so I'm saying maybe we blew out the socket receptacle. So I'm walking back upstairs with a circuit tester to check to see if there's power in the outlet when he tells me, I had it in the UPS, and it shut off. So we just rearranged the plug so it was plugged directly into the wall, and everything's working fine now.
TJC.
Yeah, TJC recognized. Okay. Yeah, that's good. Thank goodness something happened to that thing. Yeah, with this virus, not a virus, because your antivirus doesn't pick this thing up. You can run a scan all day long. It'll pick up a bunch of cookies and stuff, that's what it did, but it never picked up the malware. I actually, through several programs, Advanced Windows Care hijacked this, and then finally, looking at certain items through the registry, using the other computer to go on different forums, and then they said to download this thing called Malware Bytes. So, a free program. You can pay for it if you want, but Malware Bytes updated it, ran a scan, 40 Trojans that your antivirus cannot pick up. It's all specifically coded malware, I guess. And fake DLLs and all that stuff. So I truly believe in that program. But like I told that, once a month, run a scan. Anyway, TJC, pick it up, give it to Gary. This is N3B.
All right, good morning to you, Gary. Yeah, with that virus, I never bother. I just go ahead and do a re-image, and that's it. You know, we don't stand on ceremony to try to find what fixes are. It's a time thing, and it's a... sometimes you don't know, especially... what the swamp will do in the future, what the actual validity of the software is, you're never really sure. So, we just re-image and that's it, done. Gary, I think, over to you. And I'm going to clear again because I need to make a phone call now. So this is KC, 2TGC, and I'll be clear for the moment.
Hello and goodbye. Yeah, I kind of agree with him, unless it's something that was picked up by one of the major antivirus programs or one of the major anti-spyware programs. I wouldn't trust that it's cleanly out of the system. So I would seriously consider rebuilding the hard drive. And that's one of the reasons why I prefer to keep a backed up image of my hard drive with programs installed. John?
Oh yeah, I have on my desktop Ghost the backup every day, and you can go back like 5-6 days or whatever. Just wanted to have multiple images. If you you didn't back up the virus. And he has another image, the hidden one. I think he has a Dell laptop. You gotta, I think, hit F11 or control F11 upon boot up, and it goes into that where you bring it back to factory condition. So. Okay. Got a guy. Just sit in for a boy. I was gonna make this turn right in front of somebody. Yeah, I don't know. She has a lot of stuff, though. She's got a lot of music and pictures. I just don't want to be lost in that, so I said, let me, this thing found it, and you know, I went on a lot of forums reading a lot of stuff. Anyway, that's what was suggested to me also when I was like spending like 6 hours trying to repair it. Because no matter what I did, I just wouldn't go away. And like I said, it was tough. First of all, you had two pop-ups, actually three, one balloon and two pop-ups every 30 seconds that you had a virus. Do you want to scan, yes or no? You got to answer it. And you couldn't get on the internet. You couldn't download an antivirus software program. You refused to look at it. it's like, you know, it knows. Very, very bad. So, that is. Gary, over to you. And to Evie.
P2TJC.
JC recognized. You see, that's the reason why I like the idea of ghosting the drive, making an image of it, with whatever program you like to use, to an external drive and put that drive away, because What happens if you get a hard drive failure in your daughter's laptop? Well, let's assume for a second that you're still under warranty and you get a new hard drive from Dell. Where's your operating system? Not on that hard drive, it's a blank hard drive. You cannot image the hard drive now because you don't have a hard an image anywhere. But if you've got a backup copy, you could always use another computer to image from your backup. JC, give it to John.
Well, if it goes out for warranty service and if they get any error on the hard drive, they're not going to care. They're just going to replace the hard drive, swap it out. They're not even going to bother. I don't think they'll return it to you as a clean hard drive, unformatted. If they do, you could just take out your system restore disks and then just restore the basic operating system as it would coming from the factory. If not, then an image is a good way to just put it back. And then you don't have to load up all your programs. But what I do is I have a basic image, and then you just back up the data that you create. That's usually the best way. And as far as programs, for the home user, I advocate them, you know, I advocate for them to use it. But unless it comes from a major company, you don't know what you're actually installing. Unfortunately, not all the major companies produce something that could take away a lot of these malware, etc. So there are some companies out there that do a much better job on targeting specific viruses or targeting specific malware. Unfortunately, it's an industry that's not as much proactive as it is reactive. Ed TV, over to you.
Yes, Jay, I agree with you 100% on that. That's why I got this, I duplicated my hard drive, the exact brand and capacity as the original one. And then did I gotta get my wallet out. Ed TV, Gary?
JC, everything you're saying is great if you send the computer out, but unfortunately for something like a minor problem such as a hard drive failure, they'll send you a hard drive, tell you how to install it, because all it is in a laptop is a couple of screws, and then they'll say, have fun. The problem comes, some of these laptops get shipped without system restore disks. They get shipped with a hidden image on the hard drive and a combination of buttons to press during boot up that gets you into an automatic restore program. I know I have that on my ThinkPad. I've got that big blue button that if I hit during boot up will take me to a restore partition. Dell has it also on theirs. They don't send you a disk anymore. I created the restore disks, and they've been put away. JC?
You know what? I don't deal with, I only deal with enterprise. So, we still get restore disks, and we wind up just trashing them anyway, because we don't use that that information. But I thought that the home user still gets the restore disk. So, you know, if that's the way out of it, then it works. If you have a partition, then it works. But as long as you're on the warranty, I don't think they're going to send you a hard drive that's raw. possibly they'll give you the restore or they'll charge you for the restore disc. I really don't know how it works. Like I said, I deal only enterprise. So we don't, we never get one item. And we already have, not extra, but a special way that we conduct our business, which is not the way it comes from the factory. John?
Yeah. On my old desktop, there was an icon that said, click here for the disk operating system and XP. So I clicked on it, brought me to a Dell website, and said, put a CD in and download from here. So it created the XP disk. And then the icon mysteriously disappeared. And then I had the XP disk. And I actually used it on my new computer. I pulled the, when I threw out the old computer, I pulled the tag off of the my numbers. And the disk actually worked. I was surprised that it worked in a computer other than Dell. And my daughter's laptop in the extended warranty, I called up. And I had shipped the disk and all the software drivers that were needed for that computer. So that was good. That's basically in a little box tucked away somewhere. So, and I was surprised they even got that for them. Anyway, yeah, they're making it more difficult than ever. Anyway, I'm going to say 7-3s. You guys have a good commute. I'm up against the fence, so toodaloo. Oh man, must be a moment. I think it's TJ's image.
Oh, it's Gary, then me.
Okay, Gary, then you. Anthony Beekler.
7-3, John. JC, at this point, it doesn't matter. Just the two of us. Yeah, well, what I do is, when I get a new computer, I happen to have Norton Ghost. I throw that on, and I image the hard drive to an external. And then I have a backup copy. And then periodically, not too often, but every once in a while, I'll re-image the hard drive to that external. With the computer I just bought, I have twin hard drives internal, and every week I leave the computer on overnight on Saturday night, and I'm using Vista. I have my antivirus software does a complete sweep of the entire computer, and then the Vista backup program, which happens to be pretty nice, update my secondary drive from the first one. So every Monday morning, I've got, well, actually Sunday morning, I've got a totally backed up drive, and then periodically I'm going to end up backing up to the external.
You know, that's not a bad system. I just wish I could get most of my people to even back up my documents. I love the stories when they come crying on my shoulder like I'm some kind of bartender. What can you do for me? Your hard drive is dead. Yeah, but can you get my data? No, your hard drive is dead. Yes, but you have to get my data. Your hard drive is dead. I can't revive the corpse. And we go on and on, toe to toe, for a while, until they finally come to the realization that they lost all their data because they never backed it up. So, that's a good scheme. Yeah, we use, we only have like a base image that has everything we want, everything we need, and really nobody's supposed to install anything on their computer anyway. So, when I come, they lose it, and they ain't getting it back. That's tough. They're not supposed to put it on there anywhere. Anyway, so, you know, too many people act like it's their property. It's not. So, it's, you know, at least in my experience, it's pretty easy. Face image, goodbye, you know, and that's that. And I guess you're not in the Beamer, because we're talking, or you're going up to see your daughter in the city, something like that. I remember last time you were saying that. Gary, KC, 2TJC for ID.
You got me mixed up with someone else. I don't have a Beamer, so I don't have to worry about the radio equipment. And I don't have any daughters, but I am going into the city. I have a similar situation at school. The computer there is owned by the school. And when I got into the office, they bought me a new computer. And I guarantee one of the first things they did when the computer was turned on was to re-image that hard drive. And they just do it right over the network. Someone logs on with an IT logon, they get onto the server, and they just push an image out and re-image the hard drive. I think they did it while I wasn't even there. And then it's just a matter of my putting in a password so that I can now get into the computer. And I am not automatically connected to the network. You know, I have internet capabilities, certain things are automatic, but I don't have backup capability to the school's network. They don't want us doing that anymore. So I let the department buy me a external hard drive with an automatic backup system. So I just have it plugged in to the USB, and every night overnight, it backs up all my data to the external drive. So if I ever go down, I just call up IT and I'll say, okay, re-image my computer, and then I let the backup program run, and I get all my data back.
There's somebody in a Hyundai trying to alert me to something, but I don't know what they were trying to alert me to. I don't know. I thought they were telling me that I'm going to get pulled over for using a microphone. I don't know. Anyway, or I lost a wheel and I'm on three wheels. I guess I'll figure it out in a second. But, you know, one thing I like about Mac is that it has that time machine. It works out a little easier for the users if they have an external backup. So they plug in their hard drive, and it's really intuitive. As if they don't have to set up anything. Everything is automatic on it. So, I don't know. There's a case in point for liking it. That and... Yeah, it depends on how the site is structured. I don't blame them for not putting you on fully on the server. There's a lot of junk that we wind up cleaning the server from people, you know, that they think is important. So there's a lot of time spent cleaning up MP3s and other sorts of junk. One. Two. It's just easier for, you know, to make the user back up their own data, especially when they don't have a lot of it. And three, space is a premium. There's a lot of excess documentation that does not need to be backed up. There's actual people who have stuff archived from like 97. They have Office 97 documents archived. They haven't touched it since 98, but they keep it there. for prosperity? I'm not sure. Back over to you.
Well, with the stuff from work, I go one step further. Since I have to work from my home also, I take a USB key and I bring home the data, and it's on my home computer also. So I'm fully backed up as far as the actual files. If something happens, I can get all the important stuff back. But I have a friend who works, he's not IT, but he's in the computer department of a Wall Street firm, and they are not allowed to store documents on their individual desktops. They are required to store the documents on the server. Their USBs are disabled. They can't write to their hard drives at all. All they have on there is capability to access it for the programs, the local programs, and then everything gets written to dedicated server space.
Have it set up with their profile so that their profile links up with a section of a server hard drive that gives them the correct amount of space and privileges they need to just, you know, put a Word document, Excel document, PowerPoint, etc. I like that. I like when everything is locked down to that extreme. It makes it much easier to dictate policy. It makes it much easier to keep everything clean and, you know, to keep everything functional. The more locked down it is, the happier I am. But we have, you know, we don't have them that locked down, and at the same time, there's, you know, chaos and mutiny. But what can you do?
Well, the big advantage to the system that my friend has is that he could work at any desk in that building. He logs onto the network with his ID, and he's got his desktop and his data available to him. I've worked on a system like that. At the school, the system is set in such a way, my computer is wide open. I can install programs. I can do anything I want. The data is kept local to my machine. I can retrieve certain data from the school network computers in a special way. One way is through the web. The other way is through a special program. Other than that, I'm isolated from the network.
All right, so what your friend has is called a roaming profile. Those are nice. And it works especially good when, let's say, you have a cubicle structure, which most of those places do. And if your unit has hard drive failure, you can just walk over to an empty cubicle, log in, and it's, you know, there's no downtime, really. That works well when you're on a good network. And when you have enough, it's really a network-driven thing. You have to have a good network infrastructure to handle the bandwidth. Once you have that down, and everything else comes into play, or everything else gets in place, and it all depends. It all depends how you have it structured at your site. So that's okay. They allow you to do everything. And if you really have something catastrophic happen, you were responsible for your own documentation. And if they have to do anything, they just probably reload that base image onto a new hard drive. Or if you get virused in such a way, they just probably reload that base image and, you know, be done with it. And then it's up to you to put anything else that you needed or wanted. Back over to you.
Well,
as I said, different companies have different ways of doing things. And one of the big advantages to the roaming profile is that if you have a catastrophic failure on your desktop, until IT can pull your desktop and get it repaired, if there's a physical problem, they could always come over to your cubicle, drop a laptop on it, plug it in, and let you log on through that, and you can be up and working without any interruption because everything's on the server.
Essentially. So, there's usually more people on. I've been noticing a decrease of audience lately. I wonder why. Maybe a lot of people took off today.
And somebody else, for a real quick one, I'm just a few blocks away from Duncan.
Go ahead, Rich. I may not be here when you come back because I'm almost at the tunnel, N2ZEP.
Okay, Gary. No, I was just going to make a quick suggestion because, you know, I heard you talking. I was upstairs getting dressed, going out, and I heard you talking about, I have the same situation where they just gave me a restore program on the hard drive, and I really don't know how to make a backup. I'm not that well-versed with computers, and probably a lot of people are not. Maybe you ought to consider talking to the log editor about writing up, you or JC or both of you, on how to do backup and restore and data retrieval in case of a hard drive failure, some step-by-step instructions, because I didn't get disks either. Vista, nothing. That's all on the hard drive. Good, Gary, and I'm just about where I got to be. Just a suggestion, and to Leo.
Well, the problem comes with that, Rich. There's 1,001 ways of doing it, and I'll let JC educate you because I'm at the toll booth. So, N2ZEP, be clear. JC, explain to him why one method may not work where others would. 7-3-all.
Yeah, I'm going inside, JC. I'll be out in a minute, okay? But maybe you guys could write something up for the Limark, you know, log on basic ways of doing this. I'll be right back, JC. 7-3, Gary, N2 Leo. I'll be back, JC.
All right, this is KC, UTJC, and I'll be listening. N2 UPS, are you there? Or N2 AFS?
N2 UZD, listening.
N2 UZD? This is KC, JC, good morning.
Morning, how you doing today?
Pretty good, pretty good. Are you the gentleman who's the steam fitter?
No, I'm in the commercial fire alarm business. We haven't spoken before. Back to you.
All right, this is the second person I got wrong today. It's a sleepy Monday morning. I wish I could have stayed in bed. I'm sure you're very familiar with those Monday mornings.
Oh, yes. Especially I had... I was on the communications crew yesterday on the Israel Day parade. So, you know, I was on my feet all day. Little horse talking on the radio. trying to yell over the noise, even with a boom set. So, yeah, I'm drained. I feel like I worked 2 days in one day yesterday. I would love to have stayed home and stayed in bed all day. Back to you.
Now, what is that? 100 years of the foundation of what? Tel Aviv? Or the city-state? And that took place in the city of New York, correct?
Yeah, it took place in Manhattan. And, yeah, it was 100 years of Tel Aviv. I think it's 61 years, if I'm not mistaken. Well, let's see, 48. Yeah, 61 years of the country. But 100 years total. Back to you.
All right. How was it? No, I didn't. I was busy yesterday, so I didn't see it at all. And I just caught a little bit of it on NPR. They did a brief, like a teaser, so you could listen in later and find out all the details. But I didn't listen in later, so I don't have all the details. Let me know.
Well, it was fine. The first time, I've been doing it the last few years, and it was the first time they not only ran on schedule, they ran a few minutes ahead of schedule, which is nice, so we finished on time. Last year we ran an hour and a half late. I don't think there were any demonstrations this year. Last year they had a demonstration. After the start of the parade, and there were a bunch of people got arrested, demonstrators. So, nice, quiet, and orderly, which is unusual. So, it was good. I think there were a little less people than usual. And we had about double the amount of ham radio operators that we usually have. So the radio communication worked nicely for a change. A lot better than the previous year. Back to you.
All right, that's good to hear that everything went well. It always, it's always good to hear. What kind of support did amateur operators provide? KC2TJC for ID.
M2UZD for ID. Well, communications, basically, you know, somebody needs, one of the announcer stations needed gasoline for a generator, so call in gasoline for a generator. Passing along information back and forth to different parade officials up and down the line, passing information. Leave sometimes and emergency ambulance people and so on and so forth. Communications, that's what we do. Back to you.
So how was that provided? It was done through like base station setups or handy walkies? As in, they would be part of the action. How was that done?
It was done in regular MTS format. We had a communication van set up at close to the midpoint with a base set up there, mobile, whatever you want to call it, a mobile home type vehicle. That was going into a repeater, and we worked with HTs. Most of us on low power because the repeater is in good view of the repeater, and then we have backup frequencies in case something goes down, and emergency codes and so on. With communicators of all forms of communication, at the net control had everybody's cell number, and everybody had the cell number of the one of the people at that net control, and so if anything happens or anything needs to be more secure, we switch to a cell phone, so on, like medical emergencies or terrorist threats or anything like that. That's it. If you participate in passing traffic on any of the many nets out there, then pretty similar. Like the practice, except this is actually passing real messages. Back to you.
Okay. Now, what happens? You get repeaters on lend from clubs in the city? and then they